Good morning.
It is a pleasure to be back with you. It's always a pleasure to be with you and to bring God's word with you. So we are in John 13, continuing our series throughout John's gospel. And the challenge will be, I've said this the last couple of times I've been here, is to do justice to this text. We could spend weeks just on this one chapter, as it is with every chapter in John's gospel. So I will do my best to do an overview at points and then drill down into some areas. Now, I'll actually be going to another book of the Bible as well to sort of help us understanding a little bit more about what Jesus is asking us to do and how we can put it into practice. So we're talking about the Jesus love, the Jesus kind of love. And this is what he's talking about in John 13. And I think that there's a lot that we can learn as individuals and also as a community to put into to practice. So where are we? John chapter 13. John chapter 13 is the start of what will be a 5-chapter-long discourse that he has with his disciples. Jesus has spent 3.5 years, roughly, going around preaching the gospel, healing the sick, showing who God is, showing what the kingdom is like. He's gone to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. He's done his business in the temple. And now he's ready to celebrate the Passover meal with his friends. And what's really interesting in John's gospel, if you notice, there isn't a Last Supper narrative like there is in the other Gospels. There's no Lord's Supper. There's no words of institution. There's none of that stuff. And it's interesting because I think that John is doing something for us. He's giving us something in his Gospel that the other three Gospels haven't got or haven't given. And that's an insight into what else Jesus said and did that evening. He knows that there's other Gospels around and he knows that there's Last Supper narratives, but what John is giving us is an insight into what Jesus said and did that evening, maybe even more so than the other three Gospels. And so Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, and that he's going to come when Jesus leaves. He's going to tell them not to worry about him going, about him leaving, but he's sending an helper. But before we get there, we're in John chapter 13, and I love how John starts this chapter. John chapter 13, verse 1. It was before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and for him to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Isn't that lovely? Jesus has spent years with these guys, listening to their troubles, their worries, their doubts, their fears, and he bared with them, he journeyed with them, he borne with them, he listened to everything they had to say, and he loved them to the end. To the very end, knowing that it was the last leg, he was almost finished. He loved them to the very, very end. And then in John chapter 13, verse 5, it says that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from his meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Okay, so we need to place ourselves in the ancient world that Jesus was living in. The way they used to eat in the ancient world, in Jewish cultures and indeed around the world, is they would have tables of food, sort of like what we have here, and they would be in a circle around the table, sort of lying down, so they would be facing their food and their feet would be outside of the circle, because feet are dirty, right? And then if you had guests come into the house, it would be customary, it would be generous, it would be hospitable to offer them water for their feet to be washed. But here's the catch. The host wouldn't be the one to wash the feet. Oh no. That would be left to the people of lesser social standing, slaves, children, women. They would be the ones to wash the feet of the guests who came in. But Jesus, in the circle, the host, the guest, gets up outside of the circle of guests and begins to wash the disciples' feet. Now, this is really interesting. In Genesis chapter 18, the Lord comes with a couple of angels to Abraham. Do you know the story? And Abraham starts flapping around. He says, oh, we need to get food together. We need to get things together. We need to get water so that they can wash their feet. This goes right back into Genesis. But it's interesting. The Lord almost inverts that and reverses that. Rather than being the guest to have his feet washed, he becomes the one to get down, to stoop down and wash the feet of the disciples. It's really interesting. He almost flips that narrative around. And Peter being Peter having foot and mouth disease, every time he opens his mouth, he puts his foot in it. He says, Lord, I'm not going to let you do it. He understands these social boundaries. He understands what Jesus is trying to do. And you can't break these social boundaries. Jesus, the guest, he's not the one who should be getting down and washing people's feet. So Peter gets it. He gets what Jesus is trying to do. And he says, no, Lord, I'm not going to let you do it. But this is what Jesus says to him. And this is really interesting. Jesus says to Peter in verse 8, unless I wash you, Peter, you have no part in me. Jesus uses the physical act of washing someone's feet to communicate a spiritual message to us today as well as back then. Peter, unless I wash you, unless you let me work on you, you have no part in me. You know, friends, it's easy to think that because we're Christians and because we've been following Jesus perhaps a long time, that we don't need to be cleansed, that we're good. I've been following Jesus, you may say, 40 years, 50 years, however long. I'm good. I gave my life to Jesus. I can tell you when I did it. I can tell you how old I was. I could tell you all the details around it. I'm good. I don't need to be cleaned. And Jesus said, yeah, you are clean. He says in the next verse, you have your whole body cleansed. You're clean, but you still need your feet washed. And friends, may I say to you today, you may have been a Christian 50 years. You may have been following Jesus that long, but you still need your feet washed now and again. You still need that inward cleaning, that cleansing power of Jesus. There's a lifelong journey. It's not just one and done Christianity, friends. Being a follower of Jesus is a lifelong journey of constantly being cleansed and renewed as we follow him. And Jesus is saying, unless you let me do that for you, you have no part with me. It's a strong statement. We have to be comfortable and let Jesus work on our hearts, friends. And let Jesus work on our lives. Also, there may be things in our lives that become so part of who we are, they're part of our identity. Oh, I've always had a temper. Oh, I've always been like that. Oh, it's just who I am. And we don't let Jesus into those things because they become part of actually who we are. We start identifying with those things. And Jesus is saying, well, I want those things too. Unless you let me wash you completely, all of you, even your feet, you have no part with me. We need to be comfortable and let Jesus have access to all of us. It's an all or nothing thing, friends. Following Jesus isn't just you can have this bit but not this bit. No, friends, it's everything. It's all or nothing. Unless you let me wash you, you have no part with me, Jesus says. So Jesus continues and he reaffirms who he is. He is actually master and Lord. Like those social boundaries, they are true. Like, I am Lord, I am master. But notice he says, the master is no greater than the servant. He's saying, guys, remember that if you want to be leader, you're a servant as well. Those things are part of the same package. And I'm demonstrating that to you. And let me just speak to the church leaders for a second, or for those who are in positions of power and leadership and authority, maybe in work, in your lives, in church, whatever. If you're in a position of leadership and authority, the first question that we should be asking, how can I serve people? How can I love these people? How can I give of myself to benefit of these people? Before we make a decision about church strategy, about church finances, about how we run things, about outreach, about how you lead your business or your company, the first question we should be asking is, how am I best serving these people? How am I best loving these people? Am I giving of myself for these people? Because Jesus says time and time again, doesn't he? If you want to be greatest, you've got to become the least. If you want to be the best, you've got to become a servant. And so, friends, if we're in positions of leadership, more so for us, how are we serving the people around us? How are we loving the people around us? Because Jesus said, remember, if you want to be the best, if you want to be the greatest, you have to become the least. So after this, there's an interaction with the disciples, and Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, and there's a bit of a thing about who that's going to be, and Judas gets up to leave. And so we pick up the story in John chapter 13, verses 33. Through 35. Jesus says, my children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You'll look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I'm telling you now, where I am, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. In Jewish literature, it was common to have testimonies or last wills and testaments of heroes. And you actually see it throughout the Bible. You can read the book of Deuteronomy like this. So Deuteronomy means second giving of the law, or repetition of the law. And the whole book is Moses repeating the law to the people of God. Remember the laws of God. Remember what God has told you. And then right at the last chapter, Moses dies. So it's his last will and testament to his people. Remember God's law. Remember what God has told you. And so we're expecting Jesus, the second Moses, the greater Moses, to be giving some sort of last will and testimony to his followers. And you can almost imagine the scene. Jesus saying, right, guys, I got something for you to do. And they're like, okay, cool. Well, Jesus, what is it? Is it to preach the gospel? No. Okay. Is it to heal the sick? No. Okay. Surely cast out demons? No. Like, raise the dead? No. Well, what is it then, Jesus? I want you to love one another. What? Is that it? You're asking us to love one another. That is it? Yes. That's my command to you. Love one another. See, all of that stuff is important. And we want that stuff, don't we? We want people to be healed and to be set free and to become Christians and to be transformed by the love of God. Of course we do. But to Jesus, all of that stuff comes second. What comes first? What's the command that he's given us? I want you to love one another as I have loved you. In Leviticus, you have the command, don't you? Love your neighbor as yourself. So this command to love, it's in the Bible. They would have known it. But what makes this a new command, a better command, a greater command, is not who you love, but how you love. It's not just love your neighbor as yourself, but love one another as I have loved you. Jesus intensifies it. He steps it up. He moves it to a greater gear. Don't just love one another as you love yourself. I want you to love people as I love you. Because that, friends, is the Jesus love. He steps it up and gives them the command of the Jesus love. So you may be thinking, okay, well, that's wonderful. So how do we do the Jesus love? How can we as a community love people with the Jesus love? How can I better love with the Jesus love? Well, to do that, we're going to go to another book of the Bible, to 1 John. So this is written by the same person. You can tell through the language and the themes. And it's almost like John has been reflecting for years of following Jesus. He's towards the end of his life. And he's been reflecting, okay, how do people love with this kind of love? The love one another as I've loved you. And he's writing to a church or a group of churches to tell them how to put this stuff into practice. Okay, this is what it looks like to love with the Jesus kind of love. So this is what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. This is how God showed his love among us, okay? So John's about to define that for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we may live through him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So I have three observations, three things to help us think about how we can put this thing into practice and what it looks like to have the Jesus kind of love. First, the Jesus love is a sacrificial love. Really important for us to get. Jesus, the Word of God, the Son of God, the eternal Word of God, becomes man, becomes flesh, washes his disciples' feet, and then goes to a cross, dying, as John says, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, in the ancient world, you couldn't have had two more polar opposites, could you? A greater comparison. God the Creator and someone dying on a cross? You couldn't have a greater comparison, and that's the point. God is saying there is nothing that I'm not willing to sacrifice, nothing that I'm not willing to give for the sake of my people that I love. It's a sacrificial love. The Jesus love has to be a sacrificial love. So friends, let me ask you, LBC, what are you willing to sacrifice for the people around you? What are you willing to sacrifice for this community so that they may know Jesus? Are you willing to completely give of yourself, your time, your energy, your money, your prayers, everything that you are for the sake of the people around you? Because that's the sacrificial love, and that is the Jesus love. And that's what God's love looks like for you and for this community. The second observation is that this love is a completely different love to human love. The way worldly love works is something like this. It's more contractual, isn't it? I'll love you as long as you love me. This is how relationships work, isn't it? It's almost like a contract. I'll love you as long as you continue to love me. But as soon as that's broken, I'm out. I'm walking. contractual love. But God, thankfully, doesn't work like that. He works through covenant. And covenant works a little bit differently. Covenant isn't, I'll love you as long as you love me. Covenant is, I'll still love you regardless of whether you love me. It's a commitment. It's loyalty. It's faithfulness. And Jesus illustrates that for us in John chapter 13. Because just before Jesus dies on the cross, he washes his disciples' feet. And whose feet does he wash? Judas's. Just before Judas goes to betray him, he washes the feet of the very man who he knows is just about to go and betray him to his death. But Jesus' love, his faithfulness, his loyalty was with Judas even to the very end. Because it's not contractual. It's covenantal. So friends, do you have that kind of love? That faithful, continual, loyal love for the people around you, for your community, for your families, for your friends? Are you known as someone with radical Jesus kind of love that won't give up on people, regardless of where they are, regardless of what they're doing, regardless of whether you agree with them or not? You continue to love them because that's the Jesus kind of love, sacrificial, and it gives of everything that we have. Third and finally, the Jesus love. This is why it's so important. This is why Jesus said, it's by love that people will know that you're my disciples. Because John says in this verse that no one has ever seen God. But if we love, that same love that we are filled with gets filled out to others. This is what he says in verse 12. Dear friends, since God has loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is why it's so important, friends, that we love one another. And we get this and we put this into practice. We spoke about this last time. That God is Trinity. God is love. Relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This eternal communion of love and unity. And when we become Christians, we get filled with that same love, with that same Spirit. And so when we reflect that love, when we give out that love, people are seeing no less than the very nature and core of God himself. That's why it's so important. And that's why Jesus said, it's by love that people will know you're my disciples. Not by what you believe, not by how you run your church, not even by your doctrine. It's by your love, because that is who God is. And his very nature and his very core. And friends, please don't misunderstand me. All of that stuff is vitally important. How we run our churches, what we believe, is so important. But below it all, the foundation of all has to be, how well are we loving people? And how much are we willing to give for the sake of the people around us? Because that is the Jesus love that he demonstrated for us. This is love, John says. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son as a sacrifice for our sins. And dear friends, if God has loved us in that way, we should also love one another in that same way. The Jesus love. So as we close, I want to give you a couple of questions to reflect on. LBC, what do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known as a church that runs church the right way, believes the right things, does things pretty well? Or do you want to be known as a church of radical, self-giving, sacrificial love? The Jesus love. Because Jesus said, unless you do that, people won't know you're my disciples. It's easy to win an argument with someone who believes different to you. But it's also very easy to lose the person you're having an argument with. You can win an argument, but lose the person. And Jesus is saying, win the person. Love the person. It's about how you love. And how are you doing in loving people that way? If you think about your own life, if you think about your church life, if you think about this community, how well are you doing in loving people this way? Do people know you as a community, as individuals, of this radical Jesus love that would give everything, that would travel the ends of the earth for the sake of people, that would give everything so that they could know the love of God seen in you? Are you known as a community of those people? How are you doing in that way? Our mission in life is really simple, friends. It's not to grow churches. It's not to pray more. It's not to do miracles. It's simply to love one another. Because everything else comes from that. Healthy things grow. As soon as we start loving people well and we start loving each other well, things will grow, things will happen. But we have to start with loving one another. This command I give you, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. That same love that he experiences with the Father, he now gives to you and me. Love one another in that same way. So I want to pray for a couple of people as we close. First, I want to pray for the people in their lives that hear the words of Jesus, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And you think, yeah, there's something in my life maybe that I'm not giving up to Jesus. I'm not letting him do his work in my life in cleaning me and making me new. I need my feet washed. If that's you, I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that you would just open your heart up to the Lord. I want to remind you, he loves you. He went to the cross for you. He rose again for you. He's coming back for you. There's nothing that you have in your life that surprises him. And he wants you to be whole. And he wants you to be healed. And if there's an area of your life that you've been thinking, Jesus doesn't want that, or I'm too afraid to give to him, or that's just who I am now, I'm not going to change, I want to encourage you, open your heart up to him. And just see what God by his Spirit may do in your life. And secondly, I want to pray for you as a church, as a community of people, that you would be a people of radical love, this Jesus love, that you would reflect it to every single person that you meet, and that you would be known as people who are sacrificial, who would give everything for the sake of this community, because that is what Jesus has done for you. May you be a people who, when people meet you, they see the face of God himself in you. When people meet you, they see that there's something different with you, as the disciples in Acts were described as people who had been with Jesus. May you be people who people recognize have been with Jesus and see his love. And may you be people who listen to his command. Just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Amen. Let's pray then. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your word. Your word is truth and it is life and it speaks to us today. And Lord, I thank you for the example of Jesus, an example of love so faithful, so loyal, so sacrificial and radical. And Lord, I pray for this community. Lord, I pray for those who there may be things in their hearts and in their lives that they haven't opened up to you, maybe for a long time. Maybe there's things, part of their personalities, part of their lives, and they've just accepted that that's part of who they are. Lord, I pray right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you'd begin to work in each of those lives. The Lord, that they would open their hearts up to you and let the light of your Holy Spirit work in their hearts again. God, I pray for transformation. I pray for renewal. I pray for people's feet to be washed and to be cleansed. Like you say, Lord, you are clean, but sometimes you need your feet washed. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that maybe they're down, discouraged, maybe they're facing a situation in their lives they don't know how to get through. Lord, I pray that you would do the work in their hearts that they need, that transforming, healing, gentle work. And Father, I want to pray for this community, this group of people who love you and want to show this community who you are. Lord Jesus, I pray that they would be marked out as people with radical, sacrificial, self-giving love. That they would model Jesus, the one who gave up everything in order to come and to give himself for us. Lord, I pray that they would be people who people know belong to you, not by what they believe, not by how they do church, but how well they love one another. And I pray, Lord, that from that place, from good Jesus love, that things would begin to grow. Strategies, vision, signs and wonders, transformations, all that stuff will come. But Lord, I pray that it would come from a place of strong Jesus love. Love one another as I have loved you. I thank you for this community and I bless them. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Thank you.